Recording in progress.
You can tell everybody, go ahead and tell everybody. I'm the man, I'm the man, I'm the man. Yes, I am, yes, I am, yes, I am. I'm the man, I'm the man, I'm the man. I believe every lie that I ever told. Paid for every heart that I ever stole. I played my cards and I didn't fold. Well, it ain't that hard when you got sold. Somewhere I heard that life is a test. I've been through the worst, but I still get my best. God made my mold different from the rest. Then he broke that mold, so I know I'm blessed. Stand up now and face the sun. Won't hide my tail or turn and run. It's time to do what must be done. Be a king when kingdom comes. Well, you can tell everybody. Yeah, you can tell everybody.
Welcome, and thank you for joining us for another edition of Brother to Brother with Dr. Nate Chapman and Dr. Keelan Hinton. Thank you, thank you, thank you. Good afternoon, good morning, and good evening. We are here for all of your love, relationship, family, attachment, and mental health needs. For those that would like to participate in the show, you can contact us at B2BPsych. That's B, the number 2B, P-S-Y-C-H, B2BPsych at gmail.com. As we always say, we'd like to thank Marshall University as well as WMUL for giving us this platform to talk about mental health issues, family issues, community issues, and everything else in between. But as we always say, any of the questions, comments, suggestions, or perspectives that you hear on this show are not supported by Marshall University or WMUL. Any of their sponsors, affiliates, or supporters. These are the sole perspectives and ideas of myself, Dr. Keelan Hinton, as well as Dr. Nate Chapman. So as we always say, take this advice at your own risk. And while some of this may be therapeutic, this is not what, Dr. Chapman?
It's not therapy. And, you know, some of these things I'm realizing may want make you want to go to therapy also. So we do encourage you to do that. But this is, though we are two psychologists, two therapists, this is not therapy session, folks.
We continue again, as we always say, we want to thank those who continue to listen, who continue to listen to the show, who continue to give us questions, comments, and suggestions, and give us their perspectives and ideas on the content that we put out. We welcome all perspectives, all ideas. So again, we thank you for your support, and we appreciate all that you give to us, because without you, we could not be here. So again, we are moving forward with our series on relationships and dating. And last week got a bit touchy, and we got a couple of comments, or one comment in particular that we, from a listener that we would like to address. And again, as we always say, for anyone who listens, anyone who has perspectives or ideas, we like to, we like to thank you for your support. Okay.
Yeah.
That is first and foremost. And again, we're not always going to see eye to eye. We're not always going to have the same perspectives. But again, a part of what makes this show so important, we hope to start a dialogue and to share differing perspectives and different ideas. So the question slash comment that I received earlier today, on the way to the show, and again, there will be no names given, but there was someone who said, last week we made it seem as if, as women get older, they hold no value to men. Okay? And while the comment slash question was said to me with a smile and a laugh in a joking manner, there seemed to be a seed or a kernel of truth in the comment and in the question. So I thought, you know, maybe we take the first five or 10 minutes or whatever it takes to address this comment. Would you like to start, Dr. Chapman?
Well, I think we can put it in context for listeners that didn't listen last week. For last week, we were talking about dating and how it gets different if you're dating after 30 as opposed to before 30. And so, you know, we had a conversation about a variety of things, but one thing came up was how men value women as they age in comparison to how women value men. And the point was made that women are, as they age in general, are not as valued as vice versa. So that just kind of puts the viewers up on, clearly we're not saying that women don't have value. It was in context of the conversation.
Yeah. So appreciate that context. I do believe that older women have value. I think that older women are valued in a very different way than younger women are valued. As men get older and mature, and women get older and mature, there is, I think there is a level of comfort. There is a level of comfort that men have with someone that has gained perspective. So it's not to say that women have no value, but I think from a lot of men are visual. Men are visual.
Mm-hmm.
I think that men are visual by nature, and I think that some of that is hardwired in our DNA. So it's not that. I don't think that it's that women don't have value. I think that men value older women as compared to younger women in a very, very different way. And if we're looking just at the physical and arousal, I think it's natural that men probably would veer towards younger women than older women. But I don't know. What are your thoughts? I'm really trying to...
I think that's one thing. Just bringing it back to the context. This is the way I recollect it, we're saying in comparison to older men out there in the dating pool. Obviously, men get old, women get old. Everybody turns into a dinosaur, eventually dies. That's the gift of life, right? But the way that it's set up in ours we're speaking to, right, is that certain things, like I was just looking at a random stat today, right? And I don't know if the viewers knew this or not, but when it comes to earning potential, according to the Bureau of Statistics Labor, men generally don't hit their earning potential highest peak on average till 55. Where women, and this could be because of some things in the system and all how it's set up, it's 44. And even if a woman is making a certain amount of income, the man that's out there in the dating pool is not going to be looking at that. They'll be looking at it, but not in the same way that the woman might be looking at it. And so these are value points. And I think the other thing we said is, as you get older, unless you're to the point where your kids are grown, there's the amount of kids that you have. Obviously, both could have kids, but just the way the system is set up, the woman might be more likely to have her kids with her, which is going to be another thing that a suitor is going to consider. So it's not so much... Obviously, the value that we hold as people is going to be in the eye of the beholder, the one who's trying to swoon you, of course. But in general, in the general populace, there are certain things that have to be taken into account that might make that scale not as balanced as an older woman might hope.
Yeah. And I'm trying. I think that this isn't something that last week wasn't the first time that we've heard that age matters to women. And this notion or idea that women getting older is not such a good thing. I'm not saying it. I'm saying it from a societal perspective. How much money do people spend on Botox and trying to look younger? Mm-hmm. Now, we can go into, well, why in society, it's all society, and society makes women think that they have to look, you know, that they have to look young, so women fall prey to that, and then they, I don't know, maybe some of it is society, and maybe some of it is just estrogen genetics. maybe a lot of it is us subconsciously etched in our DNA. A part of us is still trying to help keep the species moving forward. And a part of that is it's natural for men to be attracted to young women because they're more likely able to bear children. And it's not something that we consciously think about. It's just something that's just sort of built in from a biological and an evolutionary perspective that's just sort of built into the natural order. Now, that might not be a cool thing or a nice thing to think about, because as a man, I'm not on the other end of the stick that's you know what I mean, that's not going to benefit from that. But I think that that might be a part of, I think that that might be a part of what it is. Maybe it's just a natural thing that for whatever reason, to help the species move forward, men are attracted to younger women. But again, this notion of idea, what do we say? It's disrespectful to ask a woman her age. Mm-hmm. Well, why? What's wrong with getting old? What's wrong with getting older? So it's like, is it society that feeds this to men? Is it women that feed this to other women and feed this to young?
Women can be the worst. Women can be the worst with each other.
And that's the thing is, a lot of time, it's interesting. We can debate back and forth about where it comes from and who starts it and who says it and who does it. But do women feed these ideas to other women about being pretty and being beautiful and things that need to be done to catch a mate and all this kind of stuff? I think it's interesting, but it's not like, and I guess to this person who asked the question and anybody else out there, it's not like last week was the first time that we had heard this notion or idea when we brought it up on this show, that there is this idea that as women get older, women getting older is a negative thing from a societal perspective. It wasn't us saying that. Again, we're just talking about all the parts and pieces that from a general perspective that sort of dating prospects for men and women.
Yeah, and specifically dating prospects for over the age of 30.
Yeah. So, like, don't get it confused that just because that's a part of what we do for a living. We think of stuff. And we tease things apart. And we pull apart all the parts and pieces, and we look at all the parts and pieces and see how they work. And we do, as researchers, to do that, you know, from a non-biased perspective. For us, when we talk about it, it just is what it is. Now, that doesn't mean that we don't have a perspective. But a lot of times, just because we bring up a point and we talk about an issue, it doesn't necessarily mean that it's our perspective. We're just talking about all the parts and pieces. Whether we like it or not, you know, it's one something that I guess when I'm being sassy or smart with people, I tell people all the time, your belief and your feelings are not a prerequisite for the truth to be the truth. The truth gonna be the truth whether you believe it or not, or whether you like it or not. And the fact of the matter is, and I'm not trying to sound mean, but I'm just saying, the fact of the matter is, as horrible as it may seem, for a whole lot of dudes, what you look like matters. I'm not saying it's right. I'm not saying it's wrong. I'm saying it's what it is.
What it is. I mean, the interesting point to that is, obviously, that's going to be affected by how you age. I know the women have a whole bunch of things they can do to modify or to give an illusion. But in addition to all that, you got to think about, as this guy is getting older, because we were talking about an older dating pool, he's getting more resources. And it's not our fault in society in general. We're not saying that, obviously women are have attraction and all these things too, but that's not the first thing. And I think most women will agree, that's not necessarily the first thing a woman looks at. It's one of the things that's necessary, but there's all these other things that are involved. You know, how much do they make? How tall are they? You know, will they be able to fit these other things that have to do with lifestyle? You know?
Yeah.
So those lifestyle things for a male, when we were making this comparison between older male or older female, get better for a male.
Yeah. And again, it just is what it is. I might not think it's cool that if the certain type of partner I want might want me to make a certain type of money. That might be cool. I mean, that might not seem nice. It might not feel good, but that's just kind of what it is.
Right.
I always pick on McDonald's. If a beautiful woman is flipping fries at McDonald's, a dude will give a run at her. Because men feel like it's my job to provide and protect, and it really don't matter what she do. What does she look like? What is the sex going to be like? And can she have kids? Those are the things that men subconsciously think about a lot of times, which is a part of our, which ultimately is something that we might not talk about today. We'll talk about later. I feel like that's a part of our problem. I think that men get themselves in unhealthy and unhappy situations because we aren't taught what we should actually look for because we're so visual. And for a woman, there could be a guy who's attractive. If he's flipping fries, she might have given him a chance. This notion of idea of your ability to provide and protect, as archaic as that may sound to people, I'm saying to the everyday average person, that matters. And it should matter. I think it should. I think what a man makes or what a person makes should matter to women. Because if something happens and I have kids, can this person help me provide for my kids? So it should matter. Now, to me as a man, if I'm not a high earner, or if I don't have a great education or whatever, that may suck and it may seem mean, but you know what? It is what it is.
There you go.
And the truth don't care about how you feel. And whether you like it or not, it ain't about being nice. It's about reality. There's certain things that women want, and I have to realize that I might not be good enough. I might not have them. And it's what it is. And I just got to get over it.
Right. And I think, like, to me, it's like, okay, those points, to some degree, it seems like, from my opinion, males take that easier. They, okay, well, you know, okay, I don't have a job, that's important, you know. And the other thing is, we're not like demanding that things change that are probably not going to change. Like, oh, I'm so upset that you won't date me because I'm working at McDonald's. Well, what a dude is probably gonna do is get his hustle up. Now, I mean, unfortunately, if we're talking about this versus the way you look, well, you know, women, you do things, right? You do some things, you like, you know, get a little, you know, some things. You do some things to try to change that. But yeah.
The issue is, I think the issue, I wonder, here we go. I think that men take this differently because we are primed, trained, and ingrained to accept rejection. And we understand that rejection is a part of the process. Everybody, in order for you to get a good partner, everybody ain't gonna like you. And you have to get, you are a pursuer, and you got to get used to hearing no sometimes. And it's just going to happen. And in saying no, that person is saying that you ain't good enough for them. Well, we hear that all the time. We try to talk to women all the, we talk to people all the time. We talk to women all the time that reject us. We're used to getting rejected. We're used to hearing, you're not good enough for me. But I wonder from the other perspective, from a woman, like, it's one that I think, I want, it's one of the reasons why, you know, women won't approach, a lot of women won't approach a man. Why? They're scared of rejection.
Man, I got, so thinking about that, not even just about approaching women, but this is the other thing. I know we're going to move on topic in a second, but coming back to the older female, and this is just my thought, because we're assuming this older female has been in a relationship already. Many things could have happened. She could have been able to cheat or a whole bunch of different things. But, sometimes you got that one who, when they were young and they were hot stuff, really wasn't given, you know, the simp, whoever, a chance, right?
Yeah.
And now they think when they back out there, oh, it's going to be just as easy. They're going to be coming at me, trying to holler, trying to shoot their shot. And now you're not hearing nothing. And you don't know what it is. And that's a new form of, not only is that an ego hit, but it's a form of rejection, because in your younger years, when beauty was high, and you might even still look good, but it's just that there's better versions out there now for that person who was a simp and now has resources. So, I mean, that's just one thing to think about. And that's another version of rejection that might sting.
Yeah. This, man, this opens up a whole lot of, at the end of the day, everybody should work on themselves.
Right.
Don't let pretty and don't let beautiful define you. Don't let pretty and beautiful be all that you have. Because it's not even a thing of getting older. I tell people all the time, if you roll over and look at anybody long enough, everybody will get regular to you. And then, yeah, what do you have? You know what I'm saying? Like, What goals and values and characteristics and traits do you have? I tell people all the time. People always talk about how the other woman, she was all ugly and she was all big and she was all gross. Men don't have sex with anybody. No, well, if she don't look as good as you, maybe she got some traits and characteristics that you don't have that you never had to develop because you're pretty. So, and I think that having personality, having an identity, having a strong identity, having a sense of self, like, I think, you know, when looks fade, that is what keeps couples together. And I think that as we get older, those are the things that are attractive, believe it or not, ladies, are attractive to men. And, you know, like I said, I don't know if I want anybody 21, because what are we going to talk about? What are we going to share? What do we have in common? So, I don't know. Again, we do appreciate people listening. We don't want to belabor this. I think that, but we weren't necessarily saying that as women get older, you don't have any value. But men are visual. I mean, it's just sort of how it is. Men are visual, and it's natural that they're gonna be attracted to, I think, younger women. And but again, for me, I think some of that is biological. I think some of that is evolutionary, and it's just like we are subconsciously always ingrained to think about moving the species forward, which is why young women will always be attracted to. We'll always be attracted to younger women, but I don't know.
And well, the other piece I wanted to add, because the full context of that, we were comparing that, saying who would have the most difficulties, and we were saying older women are going to have more difficulty than older men, and that's because of the resource growth. That's going to be more likely. That matters to women more than it matters to men.
Yeah,
it's going to make a difference.
Good deal. Good deal. So again, we thank you for the question. If it felt like we danced around it, we did. I know I did, because my co-host has told me this is not going to turn into a Kevin Samuel show. Move on, and we're going to move forward. All right, again, station identification. This is Marshall University, WMUL, 88.1 FM on your dial. This is Brother to Brother with Dr. Nate Chapman, Dr. Keelan Henson, and we are on our series in dating. Relationships, more specifically dating. And the question for the day is, what do men, you know, women say that they want a man with resources that has something to offer.
They say they want a six-figure man. That's what they say.
More specifically, some women say that they want to live a comfortable life, and in order to live that comfortable life, they want a man and they want a partner with resources, more specifically, a man that makes six figures. So the question is, do you qualify?
Oh, man.
Because everybody can want, but the question is, do you qualify to have what you desire? Can you stand in the room next to what it is that you want? You know, do you want caviar and champagne, and you might be hot dogs and pork and beans and a house coat in Newport? Are you a reflection of what you want? And more specifically, what is it that these high earning men desire? Honestly, a man that has resources and has his own and has a job. What are the things that he truly wants and needs to be happy? And do you honestly have those things? Do you measure up? Do you have more than to offer than just looks and sex? What can you give him? What does he want? What does he need? So, Dr. Chapman, kick us off. This high earning man, what is it that you think these men desire?
All right, before I go to that, I just want to preface, there could be lots of different ways that a woman might come to desire this man, you know. And maybe not all men want this, all women want this kind of man, but I could see a couple different paths, right? Obviously, the gold digger, that would be one, of course, right? But in addition to the gold digger, you might have an ambitious, high-earning female who has experienced maybe have some unfortunate circumstances with men that make less. Maybe they don't even have it in their heart to try to belittle a man that makes less, but they've had circumstances where that man is abused and used her money. So now she's thinking, well, I got my own. I'm ambitious. I would like to have a man that's same. I'm six figure. I want a six figure guy also. So I think that's important to highlight, because those different types of women are going to bring different things to the table and are going to approach the situation in a different way. And when I'm speaking to it, it's a combination of what I've heard, but also a combination from where I'm at. You know, I have that type of income. So this is, you know, I can't separate it from how I would feel about some of these things. I think that the question that some females are not expecting for this person to ask is, what kind of partner are you going to be? Because I think there's this assumption, there's six figures and beyond. I'm just staying right with six figures, like 100K. But you could go up all the way out to a million. Obviously, if somebody's got endless money, then they could approach this whole thing in a different way. But in order for a dude, just kind of like a regular dude that has been end up, that's the type of dude I'm talking about. You know what I'm saying? They started from the bottom and legitimately worked themselves up. They didn't come up with some money on their own. They used their ambition, their mental resources to get financial resources. And that means they went through some processes to get to where they're at. And they probably have seen some struggles and some poverty. And who knows if they did it on their own or if they had resources, because they're a man. They might have felt like they had to do it on their own. You know, that might have been one thing that drives them to get to the point that they're at. So if that's the case, then they're going to probably be, hopefully, mindful about their money. Right. So that's why it would start with something like a partner. So I think women think, oh, well, if they make that type of money, they're going to automatically be a provider. And I'm going to say, you know, I think I heard it somewhere and I think it's worth thinking about. Just because someone makes six figures doesn't mean they're going to automatically be in this provider mindset. There might be, because you can find a good dude that has a regular job that will bust his butt to pay everything for you, make sure you have nothing. There's lots of good dudes that are going to provide that don't make six figures. But this type of dude, even if they may be that provider mindset, they may not. But what they did to get their resources, it's probably going to put them in a mindset where they're thinking about you as either going to be, you're either going to be a liability or going to be an asset. Now, some women, it's hard for them to even wrap their mind around that. What are you talking about? Like, I bring it all this goodness, you know what I'm saying? I'm going to give you this fire sex. Like, that's, like, okay, well, this dude, and from my conversations and people in my circle that have this kind of status, it's like, well, we can get those things if we really wanted those things. And that can't be the only thing you're going to bring. So what we look for in a partnership, are you going to be someone who's going to be like, what is it, swine that's trying to take my pearls? I mean, that's something that people need to think about. Like, when you come into the table, are you a taker? Even if you ain't a gold digger, you can still be a taker. That's going to be a red flag for a dude. And maybe you think about, I think women think about people who've been together for long periods of time, and that man eventually grew in money. And they think, oh, well, you know, they grew and she's kind of regular and ordinary, but she probably held him down. She's earned that place, you know, so where she could be fully taken care of and he never had to worry about trusting her. But if you are meeting somebody after 30 and they've already accumulated their wealth and they went through some things, they're probably going to be thinking about you a little bit differently than just some random thing that, you know, they can just connect with the value of partnership and how much it can really affect their life. So that would be a basic start. Partnership, asset, or liability?
That is a drastically, that perspective is so drastic as it relates to how people are taught to look at themselves in a relationship as a liability or an asset. That's wrong. It's because relationships are about love, right? Mm-hmm. And love conquers all. And the reality is, relationships are a business and a partnership. And I don't care how much you love each other. If somebody's spending all the money, as much as I love you, you are a liability. I think that when we talk about men that, for a lack of a better term, got their stuff together. They have a vision. They have an identity. Vision. They have purpose. They have drive. They got their own. They truly, I'm not saying that love isn't a part of the equation, but one of the things, I know what one of the things that I ask myself is, how can, like, how does this partnership or relationship make my life better or worse?
Right.
And I'm pretty sure I can hear people cringing through the airwaves now, but that is a fact. I have my own, I got my stuff together, and it's like, bringing this person into my life, how do you improve my situation? Or how do you hurt my situation in some way? And like you said, what type of partner will you be? Like, you know, I have drive and I have motivation and I have initiative to go do things. Are you stuffing a bagel in my mouth as I'm going to the next thing because I'm trying to get this for the family? Or, as we said before, you can't have both. Either I'm gonna be here with you and we're not gonna make money, or I'm gonna be out making money, I'm not gonna be here with you, but we can't have both.
Uh-oh, someone's like, no, that's not true. Disney didn't tell me that.
But no, what they're saying is, that's not true, and you can prioritize anything you want, and if you're not doing it, that, you know what? That's just not a reality. And it's not a reality. It's not a reality for men. Either I'm going to be out here providing and trying to build some for our family, I'm going to be here looking at you. But you can't have both in reality. And I'm not saying some people don't work it out that they can do both. But a lot of times, in a lot of careers, either I got to be gone, I'm going to be here.
Right. And obviously, there are going to be some men, depending on their level of wealth, the type of career that they have, that they can make space to do that. And then you got to ask yourself, is that the provider that's below this threshold, but it's good for you? Because some women may not realize that's really what you need. You need that good provider dude that's not going to be this ambitious six-figure guy. Because if he's that guy, he's probably, his career has, if he's just doing it on his career, no business. If he's business, then he's got to do some things to make that business grow. But if he's on his career, you know, the longer he gets, the more, as he gets older, he gets more responsibilities. You know, he may have some more vacations, some more benefits, but at the end of the day, he's getting more responsibilities. And, you know, if you think about, I don't want to go biblical on you, but like, man's put it in the garden to work. I know a lot of women, I mean, I guess it's mixed because, you know, some women have experienced a dude that don't work and they really would appreciate that. But
yeah,
the one that is like, well, no, you need to be up under me. And I understand because some of it's about family and stuff. There might be some way to blend it, but you can't expect that this dude is, you can't do it all.
Well, why can't she work with him, Dr. Chapman? Why can't you just take me? Why can't you work with me? I don't want you in my face all day. And that's what some people need to understand. I don't need you in my face. This is my thing. And I'm going to do my thing the way I like to do my thing. And I don't need you telling me how to do it. And I don't need no suggestions. This isn't our thing now because we're married. And maybe it should be. But a lot of dudes don't think that way. We have to have our separate identity and our separate sense of self. And this is my thing that I've built and I started to build and I started to craft and manifest before I met you. And even if we was together, it was my dream while we was together. Now, maybe you helped me get some parts and pieces to get this dream going, but it's still my dream. So do you want anybody else giving input on your thing? Like,
well, okay,
there has to be separation.
Well, I think that's another point that has to be taken into account for a six-figure guy, in my opinion, right? Depending on when you meet them. You meet them and already at that level, then they got a vision. They are working their vision, right? And the question is, some are going to let you be a part of the vision, but it's not like all women come into relationship with that. Some women come into relationship, I got a vision for us. Like, this is the vision I want for us. We're going to do these things. Well, this is a sacrifice. I think you got to make some sacrifices if you want certain types of dudes. If you want this type of dude, then you're going to have to realize that you have to be in line with his vision. I'm not saying it has to be selfish and all about the dude. If you pick the right dude, his vision will be in alignment with your vision. But you can't come and change his vision. That's not going to happen if you want him to stay with six figures. That ain't going to happen. Because part of his vision is probably the work he does. He probably feels some passion in the work he does. It's probably not just a job. It's probably connected a whole bunch of things to it. You know, like some people can go to work and just like get their check and then they got to leave. I'm going to tell you a percentage of these dudes out here making it bigger. That's because that work, it is about money, but it's not all about money. It's about producing. It's about putting stuff in the garden. It's about a whole big vision that's bigger than you.
Yeah. I'm trying to think of a word. When you say she has to be a part of his vision and he has to, what is the word that I'm looking for? I used to hear it in church all the time. What's the word?
Uh-oh. Not that word. Is that the word you go off?
I'm just Dr. Chapman, sir, our relationship expert. If a man is a high earner or makes most of the money, can there be equity? Can there be equality in a relationship?
Okay, first I think there's two things. Man could be high earner.
That's a yes or no question, but if you want to put perfectly fine with me.
Man could be high earner and be with another woman who's high earner, so he might not be making most of the money. But I do think if he's in the situation where you want the girl wants him to be the six figure and the provider, then here's the other thing you got to think about. That word, submission. Okay, so I'm not even saying that a woman has to do. We're talking about the perspective of this type of dude. So this type of dude is going to be motivated. He's going to be willing to go out there and get it, which all women want that kind of dude. And also, he's got the possibility of being an alpha type dude. Now, alpha type dude is going to be, it's not just about their vision for the greater good, but it's like, you're going to get in line with my vision or you're going to be gone. That's how it's going to be for that type of dude. So the only way on that team is if you line up. Now, sometimes that won't be a problem if it's with your vision and this man has the right temperament. There's no guarantee of that. If he doesn't have the right temperament and alpha can go from being rude to being abusive. You know, like, not saying there automatically would be, but if you want to do your own thing and you really don't want to have to fall into a vision, then you need to be very mindful when you're going after this type of guy.
So, again, I'm going to ask you again, should women fall in line?
Well, should they fall in line? I'm not going to say they should fall in line. I'm going to say recognize what you're signing up for. You know what I'm saying? Don't get in line for the roller coaster unless you're ready to take a ride on it.
Again, again, we're speaking for men from this perspective. What I've noticed is that it's hard to have equity when somebody's pulling a lot of the financial weight in a relationship. It's hard. It's hard that whoever is carrying the financial weight is not going to want the last say. So, and I know that's a hard thing to, and again, I'm not saying it's right. We're not talking about right or wrong. We're just saying it's just what it is. So the question is, if you want a high value man, what we hear from men and what we hear men say, I'm just going to be honest, what I hear men say that have their lives together, they got a vision, they moving forward with their lives, they want a pretty woman. They want somebody that's going to be pretty, that's going to look pretty on their arm. And they want to, like I said, they're alpha dudes that want to be dominant. They want to run their house. They want to run their house and they want to have a say-so. And this notion of idea that you're going to tell me what I'm going to buy and what we're going to do and what we're doing with the bread ain't happening when I make it all. It just ain't happening. Now, that don't mean that I don't care what you think. It don't mean I don't care what you think. It doesn't mean that this man doesn't care what you think or don't care what you feel. But the reality of it is if I'm keeping these lights on and I'm giving you what you need, then I call the shots. He who holds the gold make the rule.
Yeah.
And I don't think that's not some foreign concept. That's how it's always been.
Yeah. I think it's a valid point. Like, I mean, that's what I'm saying. This is something you definitely, women have to be aware of, because I think some women want the type of situation, like they're looking for a provider. Like I said, just because you have six figure doesn't mean you go have a provider with an open heart that's ready to, you know, be the type of dude that you want. It's kind of, but the six-figure guy, if they are the provider, there's going to be some things that's going to be expected if they're, you know, that money they've worked hard for and they've built it over a period of time. But I also want to make women aware that not every six-figure dude is going to be like, hey, you come into my relationship, now you have access to all my money. Because if that six-figure dude is wise, they're going to really want to know how you are about money. Like, do you consider research? What your credit cards look like? How many loans you got out? I mean, these are like, oh, I hope nobody's asking me that while we're dating. But somebody who has not only has money, but is aware of their money is going to want to be aware of where it's going to go.
Yeah. Again, I know that this is a hard conversation for a lot of people here. And I'm pretty sure I can hear people saying that we're pigs right now. But again, you don't have to like it. You don't have to love it for it to be reality. And I'm not, we're not passing judgment on whether it's right or wrong in so much as when this is sort of the breaks of how things are. You know what I'm saying?
They are, okay, and it, people might think that. I hope not everybody's thinking that, but let me throw some more things out there that's possible. Obviously, it's not every dude, but so let's say you got this six-figure guy's ambitious, went out there and got his money, all these other things. Let's say he does say he's gonna just like, you know, take care of you. You don't have to worry about anything. But he's probably gonna be feeling a little bit entitled to other things, other women. You know what I'm saying? I mean, I'm not saying all dudes gonna be like that. I'm not like that, but I'm saying at this level, type of confidence this dude probably has, they probably have lots to back it up with how much effort they put into where they're at. They, if they are fully taking care of you in all that way, they might feel like entitled to do these other things, because why not? Besides the fact that their confidence is there anyways.
Should women just be resigned and be prepared to put up with a little bit of cheating? Are you really going to let a little bit of cheating ruin the idea that you live a great life? You live a good life. You live a great life. Maybe you don't have to work. Maybe you don't have to work hard. Maybe you work, but you necessarily don't have to work. You got somebody that takes care of most of the bills. Are you really going to let a little bit of cheating spoil?
I think it's a good question. And another question for one to think about. If you know, you absolutely know that you don't want someone to cheat. I'm not saying that all people that make this amount are going to be cheaters. I know plenty of women think all men cheat. That's not true. But I'm saying you put yourself in a certain category, you're shrinking your pool, you're going to make some things more likely. And if you know you don't want a cheater, then you might have to start thinking very carefully about other options. I know that sounded like, oh, now I'm saying all six-figure dudes cheat. I'm not. But I'm saying you being like, oh, I'm only going to be this. Well, you're going to pay somewhere.
Could you repeat that, please? Did you just say you're going to pay somewhere?
Yeah.
Look, I think what's interesting is that successful, and obviously this isn't for all men, but successful men feel like that women are a part of the spoils of being successful in victory. I mean, think about it. When somebody wins on the NASCAR circuit, they put you on the stage, they give you a jug of milk, and they put two women beside you. Like, yeah. What does that say? Now, I often have sex with these women, but it sends this message that women are a part of the prize. Like, I've heard people who've said they have gone into entertainment because they wanted to sleep with a lot of women. Like, it's this ideal expectation that as you become successful, like, being able to be with multiple women, or women are a spoil of victory. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, I think that's real. I think in addition to that, I mean, just even if you don't have money, that's just something that's more prone to be in our population. Like, oh, how many numbers you get, blah, blah, blah. Even if you don't have money, you consider it to be cool if you're able to do that at a younger age. I think in addition to that, I think some girls don't think about the numbers, rather you make good income or not. The reality, I looked this up today, and it kind of like was mind boggling. So I'm here in San Diego. I looked at the average income for an individual. It's around 39,000. The average income
in San Diego?
Yeah. The average household individual income, 38,000. For a household with more than one person, it's 83.
Okay.
Average. So for you there in Huntington, it's around 20,000. household income is around 33.
Okay.
So that's the average. So if you're looking for a dude that's making 100,000, he's going to be in top tier. So when you're in top tier, you got options.
Yeah.
So it's not even just like options. Like, okay, so I can be a little bit more selective about some things.
Okay, so the thing is, if you want to explore your options, then women are like, if you want to explore your options, why marry me?
It's well, I'm saying before marriage, because I'm saying dating. Okay. But you do have some of these guys that are going to be exploring their options after marriage.
I mean,
but
I was
talking about during dating.
Even during dating, if you're going to be out here, you know, reaping the spoils of your success, then why are you talking to me like you're serious about me? Are you really serious about me? You know what I mean? Like, you know, so again, there is a competition for these men. Going back to what we talked about last week, competition. So right. women should realize there's a competition to get ready to play this game then.
All right, well, let me just go back to that for a second, because I've been harping on this, and it's a lesson I think people got to learn, but specifically people that come out of a marriage when they've been, you know, like they're like a cat that's been in the house for all these years, and now you're a street cat again. You got to relearn some things, right? And the first thing you got to learn is that the game has changed. The second thing you have to learn is that you're not going to instantly go back to marriage, right? So I think when women are younger, that's something that they'll probably be more prone to do because, you know, they're using their beauty in some way as resources and they're checking their options. Good for them. And then I think men, that this type of guy who has all these options, they're going to be more likely to do that even into an older age because they have these options. And when it comes to dating in general, the woman who says, well, why, how come after you've been on one date with them, how come you're not just isolating to me? Because that's not what dating is, boo-boo. Dating is seeing multiple people and then figuring out what works for you so you don't just end up in a situation that doesn't work. I think maybe you have honest conversations about what's going on. Everybody just knows what's up with the game. But dating is dating. Marriage is marriage.
Yeah. I think that the more we speak, the more we talk about this, the more I'm starting to realize that I know we touched on this before, but men really do become more attractive as they get older. Because you become more financially stable. As you get older, you're done playing the games. You're probably
mature and stable too.
Yeah, from a maturity, mental and psychological and emotional standpoint, you're more mature. Like, you're earning what you earn. You have resources. You know what I'm saying? And like, you're just attractive to everybody. You're, like we said before, you're attractive to young women because you ain't playing games, and to some degree, they want somebody that's stable, that they can build, they can begin to build a life with. With older women, again, they see the maturity and the stability there, and you have options. And the thing is how you gonna get an edge on a competition? That's just what it is. And as mean as that sound, and as horrible as that sound, the idea is that older dude, guys that are slightly older, they got their stuff together. They got options. And I think that it's offensive to say that you have to compete for my love. If you want me, you got to compete for me. What you going to do that she not going to do? That is offensive to some women. And at the end, and I'm not saying that it shouldn't be, but it's.
But, okay, I get that. I want to say a couple things. Well, one, but that's usually how it's been for men most of their life, that they got to compete, which men don't mind as much because we show you we the alpha, whatever. But when it comes to women, it just switches later on, so it becomes harder. And then I think the other thing is, so you're probably thinking, oh, well, you hear us talking about it. You know, we happen to be in that category and we're older men in our 40s. Maybe you think, oh, they're just saying that because they are full of themselves. I think you should just check around, man. Just better ask somebody. I mean, I think you'll find out. I think it's an honest conversation, you know?
Yeah. And that's the thing is, I'm glad you said that. It's not that we're full. It's just what it is. Like I said, as I've got this, it's so bizarre that I couldn't buy a date when I was 20. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? I had a Mercury. When I was younger, I had a Mercury Lynx. What, they don't even make those no more. That's a car. It cost me $500. I didn't have nothing. And as a young cat, I was a hater. Boy, talk about a hater. I had a hater in my blood. Like, I didn't understand all these older cats was dating younger women that I thought was my age, and I was like, this ain't fair. This ain't cool. He gonna bring his old self over here driving around to college, you know what I'm saying? Driving around to college in a deuce and a quarter, picking up, you know what I'm saying? I'm just like, this ain't cool. Like, I'm 25, you 25. You supposed to want me, right? But at that point in my life, I didn't, and it wasn't until I got older that I started to accumulate resources. My salary got up a little bit. You know what I'm saying? Like,
I think these stories, man.
And then I get it. And then I get it. When you, like you said, when you get in your 30s and 40s, you start to realize you in this sort of weird sweet spot space that it's just kind of like you got all these options that, and it's weird to men in your 20s because it's like you were scuffling trying to get a date in your 20s sometimes.
Right. I think a lot of men will have that story, the ones that are not having it. Aren't like married and there was somebody forever. You know, I remember when I was like in my 20s, I was teaching high school, which is like, I mean, that's an honorable job teaching. I'm doing hard at doing that job. I remember I went on a date with a lawyer once and she was fine. But it didn't go too far. I mean, it could have been a lot of things, but you know why I chalked it up to in my mind is like, man, I'm only driving this beat up car I was driving at the time. You know, I really got the resources that she got as a lawyer, but I had hard had these other things. And that was me in my 20s, but that's way different than what I'm doing now. But there's no way she could know from that moment, like, well, what was going on with me then, where I'd be right now.
Yeah, yeah. And I think that's the thing, is one of the things that I taught, I know it's bad, but again, I try to teach my daughter game. I tell my daughter every day, don't date potential. I know that sounds bad, but that's real. You can't get with somebody on a hope and a prayer that they ain't got nothing now, but they might end up, they could end up a doctor later. They could end up still trying to make mixtapes when they 40. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, I don't know. Part of what happens is unfortunate for some females. I'm sure this girl, she probably got married to another lawyer or something else. Hope things worked out great for her. But if she did, like if she got a divorce or something else like that, and she's back out here in this field, we were like the same age. Then now the situation is going to shift a little bit.
Yeah.
Even though she's very successful, all that stuff is not going to matter to a dude the same age.
Yeah.
I'm not going to say it's not going to matter at all, but I'm just saying it doesn't matter as much as it will matter to women.
Yeah, exactly. Man, we're coming up on time already. So, takeaways. I think that, especially men with resources, and not just men with resources, we're talking about men who are driven. The last thing they're going to think about is what can you contribute to some extent financially, because he got that. Like, as he gets older, he starts to think, how is this union going to affect my lifestyle? How is it going to affect me? How is it going to affect my lifestyle? What do I want to be happy? And can you give me what I want to be happy? Even if it is superficial. Even if it's looking good, somebody pretty to go to cocktail parties with, and somebody to have sex with. Like, when men are driven and have resources and have a passion, like, they look at women and they go, that's not something that I ever asked myself in my 20s. I didn't think to, and it's something interesting that we have to explore. I didn't think to ask those things until I got older and I started to become financially stable. And then I went past stability to, okay, I can buy a pizza when I want to. You know what I mean? Like, if I want to go out and get some, I can go out and get some. I'm not saying I'm rich by any means, but I'm saying I don't have to worry about the light bill. Until when I got to that point, that's when I started to think about, what do I want in a partner? Do I want a partner? All this peace and tranquility that I done set up in this crib, all it could do is go bad if I bring somebody in here. So this person better have some qualities that will help enrich my life. And it has to be a union that will continue to allow me in some way to continue to chase my passions.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? And those are the types of things that men who have a vision and who have some, those are the things that they start to think about when they're not worried about the light bill no more.
Right. Yeah. And I'll just speak to like some of the things that I look for, you know, for me, and it's way different than than I was as a young man. You know, okay, so I was a little bit more superficial when I was younger. You know, it was all about the looks. And I start with the looks and hope you have everything else worked out. It has not always worked out in my favor. But as I get older, you know what I'm saying? Looks is like something I still list. But in addition to that, I need to know, are you a taker? Are you someone that is just going to come in and try to take from me? Because I'm in the type of profession and the work that I do and the vision I have where I give. And what I would need is somebody who's not going to just come in. We're going to have mutual giving, but you're not going to just, I can't have someone just take from me because I need to give to others. Yeah. You are going to hurt my vision and therefore hurt other people. And on top of that, possibly hurt my finances. So it's not just about finances, money and all that, but it's about a man who has a vision is thinking about that vision like they think about their calling. Like they got to guard that. Because if you link yourself to the wrong situation, downfall. There goes the downfall for the man, downfall for the vision.
Yeah, yeah. Something that I want before we wrap up for the ladies that are out there. What if you have someone, if you don't have someone, you can speak for yourself or just what you think about in general. You can contact us at b2bpsych@gmail.com. You can contact us on our Facebook page. It's Keelan Hinton or Nate Chapman or Nathaniel Chapman. I would like to know, are you prepared or do you think that women are prepared to be submissive in a relationship to a man? Could you do it? If he's a high earner, if he has a vision or has a business or he pretty much takes care of everything, are you prepared to accept the idea that he wants to call the shots? Can you do that? Is that a life and is that an existence that you could live as a sacrifice to not have to, you know? And the sacrifice is you don't have to worry about anything. Are you prepared to be submissive? Could you be submissive? Could you let him run the show? Could you let him have the last word or the last laugh or the last say? Because a lot of dudes who take care of their families and their wives in that way, a lot of cats are like, I want the last say. I run stuff. I keep stuff together. Like, and you really don't have to worry about anything. Like all this, like sometimes I want to come home and I want you to be quiet. Like, stop talking. I don't want to hear it. Could you live a life that way? Again, I'm not saying all. It's something to think about. But all I'm saying is this: if you want to be taken care of, as Dr. Chapman said, oh, you got to give somewhere. You're gonna give somewhere. You're gonna give somewhere. So there are a lot of women out there that want to be taken care of. What are you willing to sacrifice? What are you willing to give? Is that something that you're willing to give? We got real quick before we get out of here. We had a couple of responses. We had someone say that, you know, if it was a female listener. She said that she thinks that we're dead on that as men become more successful, they start to look at worse as a liability. Like that is a real thing. Do you improve his life in some way? And I wonder if that's just a part of maturity. As men start to understand that life and relationships are more than just attractiveness, men start to think like women. Think about, I really like this guy, I love him, but can he hold down a family? Do he have a good job? They just learn to think about those things earlier. These are the same for those people who are out there appalled. These are the same things that you say about men. We just don't think about those things until later in the game when we start to realize that there's more to life and more to relationships than looks and sex. Once we have had enough sex and we realize that there isn't some limit and I gotta get all I can when I'm young. Once we realize that it actually becomes easier to have sex as you get older and sex is like not a part of the equation, then we can finally start to think about, okay, what are the things that really matter? We don't come to those realizations until we get older. But again, we had a female listener that said, right, that men who sort of have something going for themselves think about women as, are you an asset or a liability? She said that submission is a gift. Submission is a gift that women give men, and take advantage of it. And he doesn't need to take advantage of that gift so easily. Yeah. So those are just a couple of comments that that I got. And then if he cheats, then she feels like he gives her the permission to do the same thing if he cheats. So that's probably a whole nother seminar for another day. Yeah. But I like for people to respond. Let me know. What are you willing to sacrifice? And it's easy to kind of say it in theory, but if somebody really came to you and was like, hey, you don't have to work ever. For ladies out there, if you had a man that was attractive and will hold it down and you didn't have to work, but that's going to come with a price of staying in your place, and he called the shots, could you do it? Would you do it? Something to think about, because I think a lot of dudes with a lot of bread or got their stuff together, that's what they think about. So,
yeah.
All right. So, again, we up on time. Again, any questions, comments, suggestions, or ideas, you can contact us on our pages. Again, you can email us at b2bpsych@gmail.com, b2bpsych@gmail.com. As we always say, leaving, all of this is just dialogue for you to go out and start your own conversations and just to give you a different perspective and a different lens to see the world. People that you love, they know you love them. Make sure you're doing something to set your soul on fire, because we're only here for a breath. And when you got to take that train ride, you want to know that, you know, you did all you could and you made the most out of your life. So again, peace and blessings to everybody out there. And Dr. Chapman will take us out as always.
I'm going to close today with just some perspectives. And from my perspective as an ambitious, high earning guy, some things that I would look for in a partner, and then you could take them or leave them. And then I'm going to give you some things that you should consider if you're trying to pursue somebody, you know, at this level. First thing I want to know is, does this person have their life together? Like, they have an independent life, they're doing their own thing, they do that responsibly. And then I also want to know, are they a taker? I mean, we all have a little bit of selfishness, but that level of selfishness really would matter to me, because that is one thing that can be more of a liability than an asset that will affect everything that's going for me. Then how will this person affect my vision? Are they with the vision? Are they not? If they're not, that's okay. It just means we're not meant to be together. If they're with the vision and they can fit with it, I'm going to support their vision. It's just that our vision's got to be in alignment. Are they a partner or a dependent? I don't want a dependent. I don't need a dependent. I mean, if they got kids, that's fine. But I mean, I don't need you to be a dependent. I need you to be an adult and show me how you can partner up. Now, it doesn't have to just be like financial, but if I'm doing certain things, what are you doing to balance that? And then I also need to know, in addition to those things, that you got a good heart. All right. So things that you should keep in mind if you on the market, you hoping to fish you in, reel you in like a 100K kind of guy. I think you need to ask these kind of questions when you start pursuing that person, if you get to the dating circumstances. Just because they have 100K doesn't mean they're going to be a good manager of money. You probably want to ask yourself, how do they handle their money? You want to look out for signs of faithfulness. Do they seem like the type of dude, because you know they probably going to have some other options, that are faithful? It doesn't mean you should be making some assumptions if there's no real reasons for you not to believe that they're faithful, but if there are some things that are obvious, you should pay attention to them. Is this an alpha dude? Right? I mean, there's different levels of alpha, right? Like, there's the alpha that you can handle, and there's much. You need to figure out what kind of alpha they are, if they are alpha, and how much you can take. How much level of control do they seem like they would want to have over you? And are you comfortable with that or not? The other thing I would want to know, just because they make big money doesn't mean they got their debt ratio under control. So what is their debt to income ratio? Because sometimes you got high earners that don't have their income under control. Whatever shines is not necessarily gold, and you're really just going to get yourself into another line of trouble that you didn't see coming because you saw the 100K. And then the other thing you might want to ask is, are they living their life with some type of meaning or purpose? What does money actually mean to them? That's an important question for you to consider. All right, my friends, wishing you, hope Cupid hits you up soon and the right kind of love hits you in the heart. We'll see y'all later.
Well, you can tell everybody. Yeah, you can tell everybody. Go ahead and tell everybody. I'm the man, I'm the man, I'm the man. Yes, I am, yes, I am, yes, I am. I'm the man, I'm the man, I'm the man.
Hey, this is Jenny from the Erickson's.
This is Kyle.